125 years ago, July 21, 1900. Ho-hum. The Coast Papers, which stated on the authority of a commercial traveler that the whole population of Ashcroft turned out to see the $135,275 lump of gold lately brought down from the Caribou Hydraulic, are very much mistaken. About a dozen people who hadn't anything particular to do at the time, the aforesaid commercial traveler was probably one of them, sauntered over to the CPR station and feasted their eyes for a minute or two. That was all the excitement it created. Gold shipments from Ashcroft are too common an occurrence to be the cause of any excitement. Visitor, H.J. Camby, chief engineer of the CPR Survey Department, called at the journal office for a few minutes last Wednesday. Mr. Camby can relate many amusing experiences he has met with since he first surveyed the CPR line through this section in 1872. He said his first sight of the Barnes Brink Ranch, now the flourishing town of Ashcroft, convinced him this was the proper place for a town and bridge across the Thompson. No more bear cub. Billy Tetlock had a bear, a nice little cub it was, but he hasn't it now, and perhaps it is best for him the cub is gone, because when it became of age it might possibly have gone on record that the cub had Billy. Ashcroft, with its surplus of useless dogs and average lot of small boys, is not the best place in the world to educate a cub to bearhood. Strange creature. I Lehman yesterday shot a groundhog that was running about Bancroft Street. Where did it come from? 100 years ago, July 18, 1925. Chief Basil David of Bonaparte goes to England. Chief Basil David of the Bonaparte Reserve, Chief Johnny Chilhitza of Nicola, and Chief William Pierish of Shuswap, all well-known Indians of the interior, left by the Canadian National a few days ago for Ottawa, where they will interview the government, and from there they will proceed to Montreal, from where they will sail on the Cunard liner Estonia to interview King George. Those chiefs will ask their sovereign to redress certain grievances they have with regard to the title under which Indian lands in this province are held. They claim an Aboriginal title which has never been sufficiently recognized to suit them, and which they claim antedates the creation of other land titles in British Columbia. Clinton Fire. Fire of unknown origin destroyed an outbuilding on the property of Ed. Doherty in Clinton on Wednesday night. The flames were controlled by a volunteer bucket brigade before they spread to adjoining buildings. Shorter route. If only there was a direct road south of the CPR between Wallachin and Savona. Only 7 miles by rail but 14 by road at present. These two little places could get together much more easily. Our local members of the Ashcroft Board of Trade should try and interest the board to take up this matter with the government in connection with the highway. The dangerous Dead Man's Creek Hill and the Savona level crossing would thus be avoided. Likely school board in trouble. A trial has just ended in Williams Lake in which the four retired members of a school board were charged with obstructing the removal of logs from Poquette Point to likely for the construction of a log cabin school. Poquette Point was the original site, and Mrs. Jane McKenzie, Mr. and Mrs. F. A. Tilton, and George Furler, members of the old board, were so determined that the location not be changed that they put a guard over the logs and threatened violence to anyone who dared attempt their removal. That, at any rate, was the gist of the charge before the court. It was also charged that abusive language was used, and court proceedings were held up for a while in order to ascertain just what Mrs. McKenzie meant when she called one of the intruders a sapsucker. Mrs. Tilton, on being asked if Mrs. McKenzie used strong language in voicing her objections to the man who came to remove the logs, replied that the strongest words she heard her use were, "I never saw so many sapsuckers before." On being asked on cross-examination for the meaning of sapsuckers, the witness said that a sapsucker was a yellow-bellied woodpecker. 75 years ago, July 20, 1950. Spence's Bridge. The swimming pool at Big Horn is a popular spot these hot days, while the mercury hovers around the 90s. Cement will be poured in pool. At an executive meeting of the Ashcroft Aquatic Club on July 12, it was decided to go ahead with the plan of borrowing $2,500 to enable the club to finish the swimming pool. Arrangements have now been made with a contractor to pour the cement for the bottom of the pool, the wading pool, and sidewalks around both. It is expected that this work will soon be done and that our pool will be ready for swimming. A large bulldozer has leveled off the ground where the old stumps were, and this has made a great improvement to the grounds. The weeds are growing up very fast, and it is hoped that a work bee can be organized to cut these out, and that the whole town will get behind any endeavors that will be put on to pay back the money that we are borrowing. Aerial ferry scare. A mishap on the North Bend aerial ferry last week provided a real thrill for the passengers, unfortunate as they were at the time. One of the brake bands on one of the winches which wind the ferry across the river gave way, and it went jerking down to the middle, or lowest, point of the run. The pulling cables unwound too fast, and as a result dangled down into the river, pulling the cage from side to side and causing it to sway heavily. There were 5 or 6 occupants on the ferry at the time, and all were preparing themselves for the cold swim they thought certain they were going to take. After coming to a halt, the cage was stranded in mid-air for about 2 hours before the waiting passengers finally got across. Up a pole in town. While sitting on his veranda last Saturday afternoon in Lytton, facing Fraser Street, Mr. Charlie Gower noticed the pole holding the electric wiring swaying in an unusual manner. He went to investigate and found a bobcat, the size of a small dog, on top of the pole, snarling viciously, although there were no dogs in sight to harass it. He hurriedly ran for his gun and shot it. This is the first time in years a wild cat has been seen in town. Tomato crop coming along. The tomato crop is coming along very nicely owing to warm weather we have had for the past few weeks. The local cannery is getting ready for a good crop, and if the weather should continue to keep warm, local tomatoes should be ready sometime next week, and it will be a treat to eat good tomatoes again. The potato and hay crops are looking very good, and it seems that Ashcroft is once more going to take the lead in producing the finest potatoes and tomatoes as it has done for years. Ashcroft Theatre. The grounds of the Ashcroft Theatre have been given a real cleanup which makes a better appearance of the property. Keep up the good work, citizens of Ashcroft. 50 years ago, July 16, 1975. New library system grew very quickly. Kamloops and the outlying areas enjoyed a tremendous increase in quality of library service in the past year as the Thompson-Nicola library system grew quickly in its first full year of existence. The library system has resulted in more than 3 times as many books becoming available and exciting new areas of multimedia service being established. Microfiche items and equipment are available in Kamloops and Merritt and will be extended throughout the region in 1976. A major recent development for the system is the introduction of an extensive collection of music and speech cassettes, including cassettes for the blind. Lytton to receive BC Hydro Power in July. The last link in the total integration of BC Hydro's electrical distribution system within the Fraser Valley Division is slated for completion in July 1975. Lytton and surrounding area will be joined to the provincial electrical distribution grid system via a 25,000-volt transmission line, fed from Boston Bar Substation and built at a cost of approximately $500,000. The 900-kilowatt diesel generating plant, presenting laboring to supply the Lytton area's ever-growing electrical needs, will be retained on a standby basis. From the advent of electricity into the district, geography and the adverse economics of transmission line construction dictated that Lytton be an electrical loner, isolated from an integrated electrical distribution system and relying upon local generation for its source of power. Garden thieves out again. Sunday night, several gardens on the Mesa Vista subdivision were raided. Some of the vegetables were left on the ground, and a car radio antennae was broken. RCMP report. Information has been received from our forestry department that they have been called out to attend several small fires in the area. The origin of these fires is somewhat suspicious. In this regard, the police will be closely checking all persons using the back roads into our lakes. Slow down. May I remind some of you fast drivers with the heavy foot that the speed limit in Wallachin is 20 miles per hour. Possibly you need your speedometer or your eyes checked before you cause an accident. Please return. Would the guilty person who stole Roger Bird's wallet from his pants at the Cache Creek swimming pool please return the medical card and his social insurance card? The address is just Wallachin, BC. There will be no reward, for you have already received all his hard-earned money.